that support. Adult Services has also very fortunately been chosen to work with the IT department on the creation of an electronically fillable iReport form. And we were very lucky to be able to work with our outgoing IT manager, Aminer Rahman, and Kim Chi Lee, the web designer, and we will be rolling out the electronically fillable iReport at some time in the fairly near future. I defer to Carol on the timing for that. And that should result, once that's adopted, in much more accurate, cleaner submissions of iReports. We have a lot of doctors who feel obligated to live up to their reputation as poor penmanship, and that's been a challenge in years past. And so we're looking forward to a time when we'll be getting iReports, submitted electronically. For that project, Lori St. Amand and I were the two adult services representatives working with IT. The adult services staff have continued to change up the case management practices as we are all being encouraged to devote more time to documentation and case management throughout the year rather than regarding preparation for our annual report to Rehab Services Administration as simply a seasonal exercise. So that's a really positive change. I would say that one notable aspect of Gary Allen's joining Adult Services staff has been the resultant collaboration between Gary as the rehab technologist and each of the three incumbent rehab teachers. We're sort of building the program by relying on that collaboration, because this really is the first time we've ever had the assistance of a rehab technologist in adult services. And additionally, the social work staff are being challenged to and expected to collaborate routinely with the VR counselors on case management functions for clients who are engaged in vocational pursuits, and that's an ongoing challenge for us. It's we're working more closely than ever before, and that's it's sort of a change in the way we're doing business and a very welcome one. And I guess just to wrap up, there's a couple of other things to say. We've really benefited from a continual search for additional financial support for the operations of adult services. We have worked to collaborate with other parts of the Department of Aging and Disability Services where funds were available, or where we've been able to partner with of some other programs within ADS. For example, we're going to be having a presentation from Arlene Lugo, who's going to remind all of the adult services staff about a variety of technology programs, many of which BESB clients are eligible to opt into. We've developed a referral form for use by the ED consultants in Children's Services, and this has been a really positive collaboration with Catherine for referring clients who age out of Children's Services rather than graduate and who are not involved in vocational rehabilitation. So now there's a really comprehensive form, and I want to thank Catherine for her collaboration in helping us develop that. And I would I would also note that we are we're starting to engage in a little more collaboration with the Lions Low Vision Centers, through which a number of BESBE clients are also eligible for services, and we're trying to sort of, you know, build some sort of a working relationship with the administrator of the Lions Low Vision Centers in Connecticut. So I don't know if there are any questions about any aspect of that report, but that pretty much covers what I had prepared.
Any questions for Chris?
This is Eileen.
Yes, go ahead.
Hi, Eileen.
Chris, hi. Is any of your, well, let's see, how can I, what, are you doing anything with the Hadley Institute?
So we routine the staff, primarily the rehabilitation teaching staff, regularly refer our clients to the Hadley Institute. And so we are, you know, we're making regular or facilitating regular referrals of our clients there when we think that they'd benefit from one of the online course offerings. Are you referring to anything beyond that?
Not just the course offering, but there are some fantastic programs, especially for people who are experiencing difficulties dealing with vision loss. So beyond the courses, it might be worth exploring some of the other parts of the institute, which could really be helpful to some clients.
Okay, so it sounds like you're also suggesting that some of these things might be more in the realm of adjustment to blindness. Am I right?
Correct.
Okay. And in that case, I will ask you know, one or more of the social workers to take a look at the offerings, because I think that that may be neglected right now. In that, I think most of the referrals are initiated by the rehab teachers, and this would be more in the nature of a social work responsibility. So I thank you, and I'll happily get back to you in future once we've done that.
Thank you.
Excellent. Thanks for bringing that to our attention, Eileen. Any other questions for Chris regarding adult services?
Yes. Yes.
Steve?
Al?
Go ahead.
Have the social workers noticed any increase in the need for adaption or adjustment to blindness among the elderly that are being referred to the agency? In other words, is there a greater need for that service?
Adjustment to blindness assistance specifically, Steve?
Yes.
I think that's always been a significant issue for all of our newly, diagnosed and referred clients. I haven't heard that they've seen an uptick in that, but we are meeting from time to time. I should say that Adult Services has twice monthly meetings, staff meetings, but we're also starting to meet more regularly as, by discipline. And so I'm happy to bring that up in the next social workers gathering.
Because we have a low vision support group down here in Wallingford, the retirement community.
Right.
We're finding some of the people need adjustments to understanding orientation and mobility every time their vision changes, so on and so forth. And I'm not implying we should send everybody to the Carroll Center, but I'm more concerned whether it's in-house or outside in another department, whether we have those services available so people can take advantage of it.
So just to remind everyone, on the Adult Services Program is unusual in that, clients move in and out of active status. But they're eligible, there's a one thing that I'm happy to say is there's a very low bar for reopening cases. So we do encourage clients to contact us when they've encountered an emergent issue, because we will speedily open them and attempt to serve them expeditiously. What I would say is, I can certainly remind these social workers, as the case management staff, to stress that with all of our, first-time clients. I think for folks who have been clients of the agency for a while and have sought assistance on multiple occasions with emergent issues, they are less likely to need that reminder, but it's worth redoubling our attention to keeping our new clients, our first-time clients, abreast of that that aspect of our service model, which is that we do move clients into and out of active status once we've addressed the problems that they identify. So
One other final question, thank you, and that is, any progress being made on, I wasn't here at the beginning of the meeting, so I don't mean to repeat it, anything going with our sprint calendar update?
Lori St. Amant has been our contact with the DAS print shop. They have produced, and I'll ask Lori to update us, because she'll be giving a portion of the adult services report once I've answered any questions. But I know that the print shop has they're working on a final draft, and I'll ask Lori to provide a more accurate update on that, Steve.
Thank you.
Any further questions for Chris?
So if there are none, maybe Lori could provide the update on the other aspect of adult services.
Lori, you have the floor.
Issue, and I did disconnect from the meeting for a moment. So could you repeat that for me, please?
Oh, I was just saying, Lori, that Steve had asked for an update on the progress of the printing of the large print calendar, and I had mentioned that you were the current contact with the DAS print shop on that, and I had finished giving my portion of the adult services update, and I was deferring to you to give an answer on the low vision calendar and any aspects of the volunteer program or your work on website management.
Oh, okay, wonderful. So I got back just in time. Okay, so the large print calendar is in a graphic designer's hands. They're going to do the layout for us, and we're going to be going back to one of the previous calendars that people seem to like the best and following that layout. It should be ready for us to proof. I touched base with them, and they've had some issues with rush projects and some staff illnesses, which sounds like COVID under disguise, and then some vacations. So they're a little bit crunched, and we are targeting a mail out for probably like the end of the fiscal year, federal fiscal year, beginning of the new fiscal year. We have started the process of getting the labels and the envelopes and all that business ready. So as soon as the calendars come in, we can get a little assembly team going and get that out ASAP. And then if there are other questions about that, I can address the other things that are on the agenda. Okay.
Questions for Lori?
You know, one of the things, though, I would just like to say is that if we have the opportunity to put the newer logo on, that it would potentially be worth waiting so that we can roll out our new look and not have a year of the old look hanging around. So it's just a thought. And, you know, right now the timeline's being driven by the graphic design team and the DAS print shop. So as information comes available, I'll be sharing it with Carol and with Chris. And then as regards the website, so the state of Connecticut periodically undergoes website review, and this is an opportunity for the Department of Aging and Disability Services website to be reviewed. And one of the things that we're looking at is moving away from that organizational structure and the bureau focus and pushing it more towards what are the reasons why a person would interface with our website in the first place, and what would their primary areas of need be. So we're looking for opportunities to find pinch points within the agency, so things that we think people are calling us for that either we don't do or that they're calling us for, and we can maybe answer their questions a little bit better via the website. And so that is in an internal discussion right now, and I've shared that information with all of the Bureau's supervisors, and we're hoping to get some good feedback from that. One of the other things that we have been doing as the adult services team, we identified a while ago that we had a pinch point, which was the BSBI report form. And so working with our folks at the Bureau of Information Technology, which is the meeting I just jumped off to, we're taking that BSBI report form and putting it on our website and making it fillable online so that the doctor can hit the click and submit button, and then they'll get an email back saying, thank you, we've received your iReport. And that helps to take away a little bit of their concerns about whether or not the report was actually received. So that's one process enhancement. Second and third process enhancements with that is that the iReport frequently contains missing fields. And so this will not allow the office to submit the report until they have submitted all of the missing field information. And then frequently they are illegible. So another area. So, you know, it'll help reduce a lot of the back and forth involved in that. And then once we get that rolling and the opportunity presents itself, we'll be looking at other ways to reduce the burden on staff of data entry for the iReport. And that's you know, probably another year out, but we will hopefully get something like that in place. So from a consumer standpoint, if you know there are things that people are looking for when they come to the BSBI website, if you want to send me an email, I'm happy to bring them to the team and see if there's something that we can do that would automate that process. And then one more thing that is on the table, but it's teetering at the edge, is that the state of Connecticut websites are going to start rolling out chatbot features, and they're testing accessibility for chatbot. And if they determine, I don't know who the they is, but if it's determined that the chatbots are sufficiently accessible for screen reading technology and for individuals with other types of disabilities, then it would be rolled out on our site as well.
Very good. I have a question for Senator. This is Catherine Guzman.
Yep.
Is now a good time for? Yes.
Yes.
I personally have had a bunch of parents reach out or talk to me at various times about how they're curious about when the dual reading books are available, or story kits, or we hear about these events, and I guess the TBIs are supposed to sort of tell the parents, oh, there's an event coming up or whatever, but it would be super helpful if there was a calendar that was interactive on the website, so when people went to look, they could see have calendars available, or we have, you know, dual vision books available, or we have, you know, an upcoming event on, you know, Friday, blah, 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 blah. So that they can be proactive about going and seeing what's available and not just waiting for the TDIs to fill them in on things that they think would be relevant to them.
Okay, I'll bring that forward and ask for some input on the accessibility of calendars. For those of you who do use screen readers, probably the technology that we would use for such a calendar would be similar to what's on the Secretary of State's website. So if any of you have ever interacted with that and you can give me some feedback on whether it works, that will help. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Any other questions for Lori? Hearing none, thank you for an excellent report, Lori. Any other questions for Chris before we move on to the next item? All right, hearing none. Excuse me, we have Children's Services. Catherine Sum, you have the floor.
Hi, everyone. And so I have a summary of the things we have been up to since we last met. We have Anna Kay Pascarelli, who has joined Children's Services. She's our new quality control reviewer, and she joined us on July 14th. So Lori McCruel previously held that position, and Lori fortunately is working under a 120-day extension, so she and I are training Anna Kay in her new role, and I'm going to say that Anna picks things up really fast, which is so fortunate for us. We really enjoy having her in Children's Services. And so in addition to Anna Kay and Lori staying on a little longer, we currently have 29 education consultants, 3 O&M instructors, and 1 rehabilitation instructor in Children's Services. And in addition, there are 17 itinerant teachers employed by some of the larger cities and towns that utilize me as a resource and a liaison to BSBE. So we like to stay active throughout the state. And there are currently 916 active Children's Services clients, which is similar to last year. We've had a number of referrals recently where we're going to perform some functional vision assessments to determine further eligibility. So I expect that number will go up. The school year started off about a month ago. I think there were actually a couple school districts that started around August 15th, so that, you know, we start earlier and earlier every year. So the teachers have been busy serving their students, but in addition, we continue to plan events for our students and families. And just to recap what we did for students and families since we last met, we've conducted a number of virtual music groups. So we've run 2 groups, one for school-age students and one for preschool-age students. It's the same music instructor, and typically is the same BSBE education consultant who moderates. And so these students participate typically from their homes, and they're, for the younger children, there may be another adult present, but these are children who have the opportunity to sing and express themselves and socially interact online. A lot of these children have medical conditions which prevent them from going out into large group settings to meet with other children, so we're really happy we can offer them this opportunity. So we typically offer that once a month, and we're continuing with that this year. We had an event at the Roaring Brook Nature Center on March 25th for 4 students, where they had an opportunity to interact with a staff member at the Nature Center, as well as the BSBE staff, to explore objects and items that you would find in nature. We had a mall socialization and expanded core curriculum skills event with peers on April 5th with 6 students. So students could socialize, but they also practiced their mobility skills, and they purchased some snacks and other food items so they could practice money handling. And we had a Leap Into Life spring break cooking program in April for 5 middle school and high school age students So they prepared several dishes, I think, if I recall, waffles and smoothies and tacos and fajitas and things like that. And this was at a site that also had a drumming circle opportunity, so they could do that. And it was a nice way for these middle school and high school students to get together during a spring break and socialize and learn skills. Our Leap into Life group again had an event on April 29th where they went to the Bushnell and they went to Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix, which was accompanied by the Hartford Symphony Orchestra. And there was also auditory description that accompanied it. So we had 8 transition age students who attended that event. We had another Leap into Life event at Mystic Seaport. This was our first ever family day on May 7th. So there were 9 students and their family members who attended. And the students actually had the opportunity to climb some of the ship rigging. It was really, really incredible. It was a great day. So we hope to repeat something similar like that in the future. And it was just nice that families could connect too. And then we had a preschool event at the Beardsley Zoo for families on April 29th. So we had 9 students and their families, again, interacting with staff. They had some small group activities for our children. And then families had the opportunity to explore the zoo on their own, as well as with one another if they chose to do that. And then we had a Fidelco event on May 17th, so 5 students and their parents and guardians attended this event so that they could learn a bit more about the Fidelco program. And these are all students who are potential candidates for guide dogs. So we try to do this annually if possible, if we have enough students who are interested and it gets them all really excited and motivated. And then we ended the school year with a Leap into Life rail trail event on June 22nd. We had 6 students attend that. So they used the rail cars that they pedaled and had a lot of fun. And then we had our annual Summer Skills for Life, which we finally were able to do in person post-pandemic. So that was at the end of July, early August. We had 7 students who were cane users between the ages of 14 and 19 who participated in this event. So they practiced their cane skills in a variety of environments, and they also worked on cooking and other daily living skills. And they also had the opportunity to go out in the community and practice their money handling skills. And just so you're aware, continue to publish our Besby Buzz newsletter. It's the twice yearly Children's Services newsletter. It's published electronically and in print for those who would like a print copy. We also translate the newsletter into Spanish. So there are links to both the spring editions of the newsletter in English and Spanish on the Besby website, and the fall edition will be published soon. We also conducted our annual parent education program event in April. Karen Olson, the former education supervisor and who is now affiliated with the New England Consortium on Deaf Blindness, spoke to a group of parents, guardians, and other education team members via Teams about the communication hierarchy and how to use hand under hand. So it was geared towards families with children who are deafblind, as well as families of children who are multi-impaired, visually impaired children who are young learners. So we had 28 people who registered for the event. It was really nice. It was well received. And, you know, I'm going to say that post-pandemic, we've debated, do we do things in person? Do we do things virtually? And it looks like we'll continue to do some kind of combination, because for that particular event, it was on a weeknight evening, and it just made it so easy for parents to find the time between dinner and bedtime routines to participate in this event. So, you know, we want to do what is going to be most meaningful for parents. And if virtual is their preference for something like this, that's what we're going to do. We do have some things in the works for this year that will be in person, so stay tuned for that. And, you know, I'd like to add too that our staff continue to work on professional development. So in March, our Professional Development Committee and Children's Services organized an event for the Besby staff, as well as the itinerant staff. Some specialists from Blind Rehab specialists from the Department of Veterans Affairs in New Hampshire who came down.